Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power. Black power, black power, black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, your comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. I am here broadcasting live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. And I do count this a privilege. I count this an honor and a joy to be able to talk to you, my black family, as Malcolm said, my brothers and others. From this platform and this broadcast of Black Power Radio. I normally open up saying that I'm happy to be able to broadcast live to you, but I can't say that I'm so happy in this hour now. A little perturbed in this hour at the amount of death and destruction that's happening to my people. And, of course, at our own hands and also externally. And it's a sign of the times and a sign of the hour that we live in, that this is a serious moment, and these are serious moments to be taken seriously in history. This is not time to be buck dancing. This is not time to be cooning. This is not time to be buffooning. This is not time to be shucking and jiving. This is time to take your life serious. You read the news, you look at the news, you see in the news where they're talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma, talking about three people dead and two people wounded out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, on what they're saying is a shooting spree. On what they're saying is a shooting spree by a racist white man, they're saying in a white pickup truck. In a pickup truck, they're saying, out of Tulsa. And if you know anything about your history, you know that this is the same place where a big massacre took place June 1st of 1921. Same thing. This is the same thing. History is repeating itself and playing itself out. You know about our sister Rekia Boyd, killed by an off-duty Chicago police officer. Killed. Gone. Of course, you know about Brother Trayvon Martin, killed, gone by a Caucasian mixed Peruvian man named George Zimmerman, who stalked him down and killed him and took his life. Hell, there are others out there. I mean, I'm not even going to run through them all, but I mean, not only are we doing it to ourselves, it's being done to us. And I'm asking us to take a look at where we're at. Take a look at the surroundings that you're in. Take a look and take a listen at what's going on with the mold that we find ourselves in today. because you or I could be next if we're not careful in this hour. Now, the new Black Panther Party, we have been telling you for over 20 years that blacks have been under attack. Black is under attack. Hell, they just also indicted 5 ex-cops for shooting in Hurricane America, what we call Hurricane America, you call it Hurricane Katrina. They gave 5 cops sentences years later, and you say that that's justice. I'm just trying to go through some of this with you as we talk about a national strike and a national walkout on this no-good bastard America. We're talking about a national strike and a national walkout April the 9th on this no-good bastard. We have been definitely let go and definitely cut off. And there's a lot of you that's running around now still perpetuating this so-called American dream. But as the days go on and as the time goes on, you understand what we've been saying, that this is definitely an American nightmare. This is a nightmare in the hells and smells of North America. And guess what? You living in it. We living in it. And so it's not a time to even be a victim. It's not even a time to be a crybaby. You got to recognize what's happened. You got to recognize the nature of our struggle. And you got to recognize what has led us in the new Black Panther Party to certain objective conclusions. Objective conclusions which have been borne out by actual conditions. For years, many of you thought we were giving you some fairy tale. You said we were too extreme. We were leading you in left field. We're talking about objective conclusions which have been borne out by actual conditions. And we have now observed how the influence of the value system of this imperialist pig power structure, we now observe how the influence and their values determines how one acts or reacts in this society. So now that you no longer have a middle class in America, and now that it's just a class of the haves and the have-nots, now you're seeing those who once would be in a dominant position. Now many of them are finding themselves out in the streets and on park benches and in homeless shelters, and they're going buck wild. And the nationalists, the white nationalists who also see the grip of white supremacy slipping, they're going buck wild. But some of you say, well, he was a Hispanic man. Hell, even the white-minded Hispanics, the white-minded Peruvians, the devil-minded even Africans, if you want to say that, those of you who think like this beast, you're going down with the beast. It's just like being a captain on the Titanic here. You got to go down with the ship if you're a part of the sinking ship. We're talking about, again, objective conclusions born from actual conditions. And we're watching how many of you are reacting. Many of you have been critical of the new Black Panther Party for taking a stance in the inactivity around the country and what's happening. Too many, I'd say, are being critical. You're being unnecessarily critical at the new Black Panther Party. You're not being critical at those who deserve the criticism. We don't deserve criticism for taking a stance and for getting active and getting out there after the perpetrators of crimes against our people. That does not deserve criticism. What deserves criticism is those who perpetuate, those who push that they are about justice and law and to protect and to serve, and at the same time They continue to give you injustice, and they continue to give you mistreatment. They continue to give you brutality. They continue to give you murder. They continue to give you chaos. They continue to give you injustice. They continue to give you bloodshed. They continue to give you heartache. Those are the ones who deserve the criticism. Don't criticize us for standing up for Trayvon Martin. Criticize the goddamn Sanford Police Department. Criticize the state's attorney. Criticize the chief. Criticize those who wouldn't even press charges, and they acted like judge and jury right there on the streets, and they opened up the good old boy network and let one of their own go. You criticize them. Don't you come running your raggedy mouth about Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz or any of us because we decided to take a stand. It ain't like we just decided to take a stand. We've been standing. But I'm saying it's at a point now where it's like enough is really enough. Minister Malcolm X talked about the teapot that would boil over. He talked about the teapot, and he also talked about the powder keg. And if you can't look around the world that you live in today and see that the world that you live in is like a powder keg, you are blind to the facts. You're living in a volatile society where anything can set anybody off in this hour. Well, really, to be honest, you got to be on the lookout for everything and everybody in this hour. You really don't know who to trust in this hour. Let's just be real. That's why the book say you can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. You got to watch people and their works. You got to watch people and what they do. You got to watch me and what I do. We all got to watch each other and what we do because, hell, other than that, you don't know who anybody is. You got people that are right now snitching to FBI agents and FBI informers. You're snitching out there. You're running around telling out there, thinking that you're giving away some information of disadvantage. And I'm here to tell you, all we're doing is organizing for the people. Why would you in 2012 be a snitch and a stool pigeon for your enemies? A snitch and a stool pigeon for your oppressor when they got all the technology that they need. They can sit away like they do 12 blocks away, 13 blocks away, miles away, and hear what you and I are saying right now, hear what we're talking about, and some say in some circles even read what you're damn thinking. So why would you be a stool pigeon in 2012 against the aspirations and the true desire for liberation of our people? It is because you are a buck-dancing, boot-licking, as Dr. Collins say, homogenized Negro. As the Black Power General say, you are a homogenized Negro, and you're ready to do anything that will please this white man and please this power structure because you fear the lash of this beast more than you want the freedom of your people. This is an hour of betrayal. And it is an hour for traitors. It is an hour where the roaches and the ants and the rats are going to crawl and go crazy in this hour. This is the hour where you're going to realize who your true friends and your true enemies are. You're going to realize who your true comrades are, who your true brothers are, who your true sisters are. And you're going to know who the real oppressor is, too. You better look at Tulsa, Oklahoma right now. You better look at Chicago, Illinois right now. You better look at Sanford, Florida right now as they're talking about the militias and the white power groups, the Aryan Nation and others who are doing what they call patrolling for the white community. Hell, you ain't got to worry about that. We don't even want your goddamn white woman anyway. We don't want no parts of that two-legged dog anyway. You ain't even got to worry about that. But I'm here to say on Black Power Radio that if we are attacked anywhere in the world, this is real. If we're attacked anywhere in the world, we would defend ourselves by any means necessary. We have proposed and we're pushing forward with a national strike and walkout on this cracking, on this beast, and on these bastards. We are proposing and pushing for our people that you hit them in the pocket where it hurts. You starve capitalism. Since this racism that's being perpetuated and this brutality that's being perpetuated and this murder that's being perpetuated is built on the table legs of capitalism, you got to starve capitalism. We got to fight on every front. I'm not saying that's the only front. for you extra militants out there and extra radicals out there, I'm right with you. I'm not saying that's the only front we're fighting from, but I'm saying that is an offensive. That hell, since this system and this economic exploitation is built on capitalism, you got to hit them where it hurts. April 9th, you got to be bold enough and we got to be bold enough to walk out on these bastards. Or are you so tied to that umbilical cord that you're scared to walk out? Are you so tied to the job? Are you so tied to that network? Are you so tied to that establishment that you won't even leave? You scared to miss one damn paycheck. If all it takes is for you to miss one paycheck, that you're going to lose something and be broke, you're broke any damn way. You're at the point of extinction and starvation any damn way. I'm going to get to the lines. Let me get this out here. I'm saying anyway, you got to be able to cut your umbilical cord. As we said years before this, hell, the differences among black people are differences in consciousness, attitudes, and behaviors. It ain't because we, you know what I mean, because we don't like each other, love each other. We've been taught different levels of consciousness. We have different attitudes and different behaviors. But, hell, now as we talk about black nationalism, now you got to put that to the side. You got to put your attitude to the side. I don't care what you think about the new Black Panther Party. I don't care what you think about the membership, the leadership, what we've done, what we haven't done, our positives, our negatives, our pros, our cons. It don't matter, because when a black life is being snuffed out, none of that shit matters. It don't make a difference. They don't judge it based upon a new Black Panther versus a Christian, or a Christian versus a Muslim, or a Muslim versus a Hebrew, or none of that. All they care about is the extermination of black life. The extermination of black life. And to be honest with you, the overwhelming majority of blacks, with the exception of a real small few, here for real, you're essentially in the same economic class and suffer essentially the same relationship to the productive forces of capitalism anyway. So we here for real, we all in the same boat. Let me just be for real. That's why I'm saying if you're in the same boat, like we said, Roots, like Roots talked about, hell, people link together in chains are brothers and sisters. If you're in the same group, if you one or two paychecks away from being broke anyway, then you got to have something of your own. You got to go, and we got to go now to get something for ourselves. The handwriting is on the wall, and it's not going to get better. I'm here to tell you, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. I know there's those of you who are praying for it. You're praying for this to get better, and I'm right with you. I really would like for this stuff to get better. But it's got to reach a climax. It's got to reach a point to where it boils over, like when you have a boil on your arm or your leg. In order for it to heal, this stuff got to boil over. And all your greats talked about there having to be bloodshed involved with revolution. True revolution means some bloodshed. So there's blood being spilled because there's a new life that is beyond this bloodshed. There's a new reality that is built upon your original African principles and spiritualities and values and norms that is beyond this bloodshed. But we got to go through it. And as the scriptures say, you got to cross, and we're going to have to cross the Red Sea. You're going to have to cross the Red Sea. I know y'all thought it was talking about some sea in some Middle Eastern part of the world. Hell no. We're talking about some blood. You're going to have to cross some blood and go through some blood and some battles, and you're going to have to be labeled and mistreated. You're going to have to, and we're going to have to almost go through exactly what our forefathers and mothers went through during the times of Jim Crow and slavery and all of that. That's what's ahead, black man and black woman. Now, the question that you got to ask is, what are we going to do? Are you going to be a victim? Are we going to be victims? Are we going to sit around and pitter-patter and just wait for it to come to us? Are we going to act like it doesn't exist and let it creep up on us? Are you going to just try to meditate it away, or maybe think that you can walk through a wall somewhere or float away, or that you know, or whatever. What do you think that you're going to do? Right now is a thing where, as we say, it's freedom or death. That's what it is. It's freedom or death. It's either this or it's that. There is no in-between. There is no in between. You cannot sit on the porch and straddle the fence in this hour. You're not going to be able to do it. Let me go quickly to the phone lines. And let me also without any further delay, thank the ancestors, thank Almighty God, the Creator, for having this show and for having us on. I want to give thanks. I got right into it. I got to give praise what praise is due. I give thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers and all of our ancestors who took lives and gave lives that we can stand in this hour. There are those who wish they could stand in this hour to see the destruction of the devil's world and the devil's society. And I ain't talking about no dude underneath the ground with a pitchfork and pantyhose. I'm talking about that blonde-haired, blue-eyed, sometimes brown-eyed Caucasian walking around with a mindset, a demonistic mindset, and the nature to do evil and brutality. Y'all was taught by the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad what it was. He taught the whole world what it was. And he told you that they built a world built on falsehood and injustice, and it was set up for the destruction of your black life. Now, you got to wrestle with that. If you can't deal with that, you got to look at it for what it is. It's not racism when you're talking about the stone-cold facts on what it is. Racism is prejudice plus power. That is what has been used against black people to take our positions away from us, to take our kingdom away from us, to take our queendom away from us, to take our morals away from us, our spirituality away from us, to take our growth away from us. You are the victims of racism, but you were turned around and told that you are a racist because you cared about yourself, because you studied about yourself, because you learned about yourself, and because you wanted to be yourself. I thank our ancestors for putting us in this position. To where we now either have to fight or we're gonna starve and die. Either we're gonna have to struggle to get free and to get liberated, or you ain't gonna make it. Either you love your babies and you love your wife and you love yourself, your girlfriends, your boyfriends enough that you will do what it takes to get free, or you will perish with the cowards and you'll be food for the worms and we won't miss you anyway. Malcolm said that hell, the enemy will only respect you and me when they know we're willing to do anything to get free. When they know that you are willing to do anything to get free, that's when you're going to get free. And that's when you're going to earn some respect. Let me take some of these callers in here as we move this program along. I'll start off with 904. That's the area code 200. 904-200. Your thoughts and your comments. And we're talking about a national strike. Black Power, welcome to the show. 904-200, your mic is open. You have a question or comment? All right, we'll keep it moving. 904-303, welcome to the show. Black Power, your question, your comment, please.
I didn't
right, well, these 904s is listening in. And I have to say, you know, y'all know that 904 area code. And if you friendly, we appreciate you. If you an enemy, to hell with you. To hell with you. It's rough in here. It's rough in here, and as we told you for years, it's going to be a rough ride. So buckle your safety belts. We ain't parking out, and we ain't going nowhere. It doesn't matter. The OG Panthers told you in the 60s. They told you the Panther is born every 5 seconds in the ghetto. Every 5 seconds in the ghetto, when the hellish conditions and the hells and smells of North America, a Panther is born every 5 seconds. So it doesn't matter who says what, who does what, as long as the oppressive conditions exist, there will always be a Panther Party that comes back to blast your ass and get freedom for our people. Let me take this call, 352-575. You're on there with Black Power Radio. I'm Sean Qualley. Give me your question or comment, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is Sister Michelle, Chief of Staff for Tampa, St. Petersburg, Chapter of New
Black Power,
Black Power. Black Power, I just want to say to all the listeners that's on this phone call, if you are having any doubts about getting suited, booted, and armed up for this race war that we in that has never ended, let me tell you something. The things that's about to happen to these honkies, these crackers, these pigs, these pink people, these motherfucking purple people, it has been long overdue. If you scared, you better give your soul to God right now and get your ass out there and fight for your family and fight for what you know. This is an all-in race war that has been launched against the black race that has been going on since they brought our ancestors over on them goddamn planks that they laid in on them slave ships. So just know that this fight has never ended against us. The only thing that these honkies have done was tolerate us being in America.
You still there, my sister? lost the queen or what happened, but I'm still on the line. I'm still here. So I want to thank my sister Michelle for what she said. And y'all know as we go through this stuff, technical difficulties happen. And I'm right here. Yeah, but what she said was right. We got to suit up and boot up. We got to suit up and boot up and get prepared for the war that we're in. And to be real, some of you all are not engaged in the war. Some of you don't even recognize, and some of you don't even realize that we're in a war. But hell, regardless of whether you realize we're in a war or not, you're in a war. You might not be actively fighting in the war. You might not even know it's a war going on, but it's a war that's happening. We're not here to frighten you. I'm here to say this, that your ancestors, I'm talking to black people, I'm talking to our people, your ancestors have already predicted and promised the victory. Let me tell you all that. This is not something that just happens out of a vacuum that we're being reactionary to. Your ancestors and my ancestors who had wisdom far beyond the wisdom of this grafted Caucasian with 6 ounces of brain in his head. Hell, your ancestors already predicted the victory. They already knew that you and I would be in these conditions, and they already knew what it would take for us to have some victory. So don't you get shaky in this hour. Don't you dare quote Minister Malcolm X. Don't you dare quote, you know, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Don't you dare quote the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't you dare quote the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Don't you dare quote the Honorable Sister Harriet Tubman and Honorable Sister Queen Mother Moore. Don't you dare quote any of these greats among us and get shaky in this hour. Don't you dare quote them or say that you with them or you with Huey P. Newton or that you with any of these Panthers and it gets shaky in this hour. The hell are you afraid of? You a goddamn slave in North America. You don't have any freedoms in this. They just passed a thing where they made it damn illegal to protest in certain areas, and it will be extended to all areas. Give it some time. You can't even in the hells. You can't even protest. For hell with your freedom of speech. You know what I mean? To hell with your freedom of assembly. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said on my YouTube page, I talked about how the U.S. Constitution, it was built to support the enslavement of black people. All what they talking about, we want freedom and we're doing this and that. You know what I mean? You were still a slave. All while they was pinning that in their office, your ass was in the back cooking their food and rubbing their feet and washing up the floors. That's what your peoples was doing. You was a slave. They wasn't talking about you. And to be honest, the Constitution really is not even referring to you except in the areas of a crime where they can make you a damn slave again. Yeah, I know it's rough, but I'm keeping it real. Let me go back to the phone line. Another caller. From a 904. This is 904-705. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Drop it on us, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean, how you doing?
Black Power, fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Brother Mikhail Muhammad, Jacksonville, Florida. Brother,
Black
we
Power.
Are working. We are preparing for Monday. There's people that's excited, that want to be a part, that are taking off from work, not going to school, not spending any money. I have some Uncle Tom bootlicking city council people. One of them by the name of Ken Daniels called me saying that the congresswoman asked the new Black Panther Party not to incite violence. And so I told her, I said, we're going to scrap the white man in his pockets. We're going to make him pay every day that there's no justice in this case. And I said that why Corrine didn't go to George Zimmerman and ask him why was he violent with Trayvon Martin. So we say again to black people, these Negro bootlicking politicians, these Negro bootlicking, most of these black ministers are part of the problem. And when we get our army right, we're going to deal with you and move you out of the way and shut your raggedy ass down. So I just want to give everybody the greetings of Black Power. Let everybody know, work hard, be smart, be wise, be alert, walk your post in a perfect manner. Black Power.
Black Power. I do want to give a shout out to the revolutionary preachers. I don't even want to sound all balanced. I want to give a shout-out to the revolutionary preachers, any of you that's out there that's holding your ground. I know you got those like Reverend Brown and others who could give a damn about this beast. Man, we're thankful for you. We're not trying to marginalize you in there with our comrade Mikhail Carr, these bootlicking, buck-dancing Negro preachers. But these bootlicking, buck-dancing, Sambo Negro preachers are definitely a major problem. You're a major problem because you hold sway over the minds of the people, and in the name of God, you're making our people further slaves. In the name of God, some of you who know Quran and you call yourself imams, you're making our people further slaves. Some of you Negroes, even with Perk M. Haruz, are making our people further slaves. If in all these books you are not telling the people to fight these bastards and fight this cracker, you're helping to enslave the people. Let me take another call. Area code 504-432. You know this is Black Power Radio. Let me get your question to comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean.
Black Power, sir.
All right, brother. I said this is my question that I wanted to ask you. I said,
yes,
what
sir.
About those who support white supremacy, like the Boulay and all of them? So what do you have to say about them?
To hell with them no good bastards. I hope they choke on their spit and their sleep tonight.
All right, brother. I hope y'all keep doing a good job and stuff like that. And, brother, you know, I respect what y'all doing. And Black Power.
Black Power. Yeah, let me talk on that. See, some of us think that, you know, because we so hard on these devils, we're so hard that y'all think that we scapegoat the black tribes and the black Negroes. It's not that. It's that we love our people. We love our people. We're trying to love our people to life, and we know that our people have been placed in this condition. We were not natural homosexuals. We were not natural faggots. We were not natural liars. We were not natural connivers. We were not natural toms and turncoats. That was not us naturally. It's always happened during conditions and during times when we've been placed in situations of fear. Look at us historically, even in Africa. Those of you who say, well, you know, the Africans sold you into slavery, it was because they were scared of getting blown up by them damn guns and the damn cannons that the white man had. Look at your history. And because the fear put them in a place that, as Tupac said, was complicated to escape. It was fear. Fear is what puts people in position to do things they wouldn't normally do. And for those of you that's running around trying to figure out some way to give some information to the white man on the new Black Panther Party, it is because you're afraid. You are afraid of the white man. You're afraid of the establishment. You're afraid of some jail. You're even afraid of some death, but you're dead all damn ready. So the damn Boulay, hell, y'all know y'all some bootlicking, buck dancing niggas. You know what, y'all know what it is. And they have not, I've never seen, I'm just being real on Black Power Radio, I've never seen nobody who's associated with the Boulay do anything revolutionary for the people. I could care less about your orders, your societies, any of that stuff. Doesn't make no difference. We got to get free. If you're not trying to get free, then hell, you're there with the oppressor. That's the bottom line. That's why you Negroes is running around laying in coffins and drinking out of skulls and doing all that crazy stuff because you want to be like the white man. Those were rituals and things that were done by the white man during cave times. When they were in the caves and hillsides of Europe because they didn't have civilization, them fools was drinking out of skulls. They was hitting their women and hitting their men over the head with clubs, and after a period of time when the body would decay because they didn't have plates and they didn't have cups like you and my forefathers and mothers had in our land and in our homeland, and this is real talk, they would drink out of skulls. That's what happened, okay? So now, because we want to be so much like the white man and so much like them, we fall down into what I call lesser sororities or lesser societies, and we try to take on their ritualistic habits. It's just like within church, you know, when you couldn't get in the white church, they made you have to have some black church. And when you couldn't get into the Arabic white mosque, they made you have to have some black mosques. Let's just be real. As the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz teach always, that whatever the black-white dynamic exists, wherever you see the white in a country, whether it's a socialist country, a communist country, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it's a Christian country or Islamic country, you will see the white on the top and the black on the bottom. than to talk black to me. You will see the white on the top and the black on the bottom. Same thing with these little societies, same thing with these little sororities. That'll make no difference. We got to get free all the way around. We have to get free all the way around. These black enemies are finding acceptance because they're afraid. They're scared. They have a what I call a unique social psychology or an emotional response to racism. That's what it is. They're afraid. They don't want to face the lash. They don't want to do nothing different. They don't want to go against the trend of the tide. They don't want to step up and be themselves. And so it's just like the whole Kunta Kinte scenario. Hell, for a while he was strong, but he got beat so long. He got whipped so long. He got punished so long that after a while, even though he knew his name was Kunta, he began to say his name was Toby. Let me go to a private call. Private call, your mic's open. Go ahead.
Hi, is that me?
Go right ahead.
Okay, I got a question for you guys.
Yes.
Are you going, is your plan to bring down capitalism? Or is your plan to have, like, revenge or retribution against Trayvon Martin?
All right. Thank you for your question. We have what is a 10-point platform. We operate the same way that the Panthers of the 60s operated. We have a 10-point platform, and in our platform, one of our aims is the total destruction of capitalism. We talk about wanting an end to capitalism, wanting an end to imperialism, wanting an end to apartheid and Zionism. We talk about an end to artificial borders. We talk about a lot within a 10-point platform. So absolutely, we want the complete removal of capitalism. Why? Because capitalism sets up a class structure and a class society, as I said in the beginning, of the haves and have-nots, that is the pivotal point is racism. It is racism that keeps and perpetuates a capitalistic motion. And so, yes, we want capitalism completely eradicated, especially from the minds and hearts and dealings of black people. And in the areas we're talking now of Trayvon Martin, this we're not into, sir, revenge politics. It's not about being revenge black nationalists. We want straight-up justice for not only Trayvon, but for the thousands, if not millions, of black men and women who have been brutally murdered at the hands of brute, buck, wild beasts running rampant throughout the hells and smells of North America, and we receive no justice. We want justice for not only Trayvon, but for those who were going across the Atlantic 9,000 miles, and because they were taken from their homeland for exploitive purposes, thought it would be best to jump over the hull of the ship into the mouths of sharks and give their life up so they wouldn't have to be slaves in a land that was not their own. We want justice not only for Trayvon Martin, but for the millions of Africans who are now trapped in stacked and taxed in America who have suffered a Holocaust that is 100 times worse than the so-called Jewish or small hat Holocaust that was faced by the Nazis in Germany. So, yes, we want justice for Trayvon, not only with a million hoodies, but for a million black men and black women who marched on Washington in 1995, we want them black men to get some justice, too. We want the black women to get some justice, too, for all the millions that marched in the Million Family March. We want you to get some justice, too. I can't let anybody marginalize it like it's just one incident. Trayvon Martin, the beautiful brother that he was, this black man is being slandered in the media. He's being slandered in the media. You all got nerve to say he was some kind of thug. Somebody went to in one spot, went to a Facebook account that wasn't even his and posted up a picture. It didn't even look like him. Then somebody went to a damn Twitter account the young man had and showed a picture of him with some gold fronts and tried to suggest that Trayvon was into some thuggery. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something. It's rough in the hells and smells of North America. Most of you young black men out here are going to be soldiers, are going to be what you call thugs. They're going to be rowdy because they're radical. They don't respect what's been happening because ain't nobody been giving them no justice. And I don't mean it just because he was on a Twitter account, he was doing something wrong. The young man was suspended from school, but it wasn't for nothing violent. It was his first offense from school, being suspended. Come on now. We've all been young. And they want to say, well, you know, he had a baggie that had some weed residue in it. So goddamn what?
Which one of you fools out there ain't never smoked a joint in your life? If you haven't, then praise be. But I can't get on here and say that. If you would have caught me in some times, hell, you would have caught me not with some weed damn residue, but a damn big roll of weed in my damn baggie. You understand what I'm saying? Some fat bunts in my baggie. But does that mean that I deserve to be killed? Does that mean that the rock stars and the rappers deserve to be killed? Does that mean that the Hollywood people deserve to be killed? Does that mean the movie stars deserve to be killed? And you know they smoking weed. You know they doing cocaine and Xanax and everything else. But it don't mean that they deserve to be killed. Trayvon Martin did not deserve to be killed. I don't give a damn what kind of residue he had in the bag. That young man was stalked down. He was like a deer in the woods, being hunted down like by a lion or a rabid animal. He was stalked down. So hell no, I can't let you all get away with that. Trayvon Martin deserves justice, and the many Trayvonias around the world deserve justice. The black man and black woman deserve justice from a brute, buck wild beast oppressor. Let me take another call here. Let me see. This is area code 352, I think it is, 352-575. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is Sister Michelle again. And I don't want to overstep my boundaries, but to that cracker that just asked, Funky Cracker, we don't owe you an explanation about shit. What is bound to happen to Central Florida and any other goddamn rich-ass motherfucking city in this motherfucking United States of America, KKK motherfucking town? Bitch, let it motherfucking happen. Don't you bring your fuck ass on this goddamn call trying to be all passionate, trying to see what the fuck our plan is. Bitch, go kill yourself right now because there's going to be one less cracker that motherfucking go down on Tuesday. Fuck you.
That's what's up. I mean, hey, Michelle, game recognized game. That's the number one thing that the devil has. The devil has the ability to snoop. If they didn't have the ability to snoop, they wouldn't survive. They are natural survivalists, wilderness survivalists. That's all they got. They got to snoop. And so the bottom line is, I'm saying this, you're not going to marginalize it to just one event. We got to have justice for Rakia Boyd. We got to have justice for the five black men that have been shot down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We got to have just some straight-up real justice and some real freedom. And that's why I'm saying to you all that separation is the best solution. But, hey, Michelle, I appreciate your call. Straight up, appreciate your call. Let me take this other call here at 504-235. Let me get some questions and comment out of you, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean, how you doing, black man? Sean, quality.
I'm doing great.
This
Who am
great,
I talking to?
This great black man, how you doing, brother?
Hey, brother, I'm fine, sir.
Man, you sound fired up like you ain't going to take it no more, brother.
Goddamn, I wish I would. It can't be me not going to take it. We ain't going to take it. You understand what I'm saying? What the hell, like, it'd be me not going to take it. Y'all been victims of racism, too.
Yes, sir. Well, look, everything is still on for the 21st, right?
Brother, everything, if you follow what I say on Facebook, I try to keep everybody updated on what's happening. Everything, all of our plans is still a go. But let me tell you all this. This is chess and not checkers. I'm saying this loud and clear. This is chess and not checkers. We're not going to be reactionary. I don't give a damn if they had 20 million neo-Nazis standing out patrolling white areas. That's what the fuck they supposed to do. Like I said, the police ain't no different than them goddamn neo-Nazis patrolling some damn areas. The damn National Guard, that shit is no different to us. We make no distinction like that. So we ain't tripping. They have no bearing on none of our plans. It's not even an extra thought in what we're doing. So for those of you that's out there getting shaky because you're reading the reports, understand this. Understand COINTELPRO. Understand that COINTELPRO, counterintelligence, they write articles. They have newscasts.
Yeah.
They have radio broadcasts. They put out information because they control your major networks. Y'all know the New Black Panther Party does not control a damn thing on TV. We damn should barely control this damn Black Power Radio. I'm doing the best I can. We don't even control this for real. So I'm just giving the real, that we don't control that. They can write. They can put newspapers and articles in circulation in New York Times and Washington Post, and you think it'd be a real credible writer putting something down, and it's damn be a damn agent the whole time. It's people on the ground that live in Stanford that said they ain't even seen these so-called groups. Okay, so don't start getting shaky. And whatever group is out there, they've been out there. You living in America. America ain't never loved no black man or black woman.
That's right.
They don't love your ass unless you a slave and you in the back somewhere washing dishes or doing something menial. They don't love you if you stand up and being yourself. So don't get shaky. All of our plans, everything that we've put forth, is on the table and it's going forward. The first thing we're doing right now is April the 9th, this national walkout, this national strike. You got to nationally strike. A strong black man, you got to nationally strike with the rest of your family. If you ain't in line with this, you might as well fall off there. You know what I mean? Because, hell, you've already been let go. The beast is coming at you from every quarter. Now you got to begin to fight back. You got any further comments before I let you go?
Well, I just want to say I ain't mad at you, Sean. Hey, guess what? I'm rolling with you, baby. I'm going to ride with you. Whatever you say, black man, hey, I'm 100% behind it. And guess what? All power to the people and black power.
All power to the people and black power for black people. And I'm riding with y'all. And like I said, y'all gotta know we on a serious revolutionary divine chain of command. We're not fools out here. This is not our first rodeo. If y'all have the chance, find them videos. Find the videos of when James Byrd got drugged. And the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad was standing nose to nose with our national chairman now, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, right there next to him, nose to nose with some pot-belly Peckerwood sheriffs, nose to nose as they were protecting the Klan. This is nose to nose, Jasper, Texas, 1998, I believe it was, nose to nose. The new Black Panther Party ain't never ran. We've been in this for 20 years as an organization. We ain't never ran, but we ain't never been stupid either. We're not being reactionary either. Just because you make a move don't mean we got to make a move. But I'm saying all of our plans are on the table. We've been laying it out here for months, and everything's a go. Let me take another call here. This is area code 202-487. You're on the air. Give me a question or comment.
Black peace, black love, black power.
Black peace, love, and power. Black power. What's happening?
Nothing, man. Went to the Million Hoodie March or whatever, and I got to give those people some props a little bit because a lot of them was out there cooning, holding hands with their enemies and some more stuff. And what really pissed me off is the fact that they isolated down to Trayvon Martin. And when I got up there, I had to tell them, you cannot isolate it to Trayvon Martin because we are, yes, of course, we are Trayvon Martin, but we are our ancestors who were killed in Africa, that was killed on the slave ships, that was killed here in America, and we are the ones that was, you know, the 27 people that was killed before Trayvon Martin, and the 16 that was killed after him, you know, and they was trying to isolate it just down to this brother right here, and it's way deeper than him because everywhere you go, a black man is targeted. He's a target.
Yep.
The black child is a target. The black woman is a target. So overall, the black family is a target. And what they didn't even get the whole picture. You know, but I have to give them props, though, because it was well organized. You know, you had a lot of people come out there, whatever. You know, you had Malcolm X's grandson, which will be coming Monday for the event down at Gary Place. So that's all I got to say.
Well, that's what's up, sis. I mean, I appreciate your comment. I don't have a knock to the Million Hoodies March. I don't have a knock to the Malcolm X grassroots movement. All of them is comrades. And let me say this: everybody can't fight the same way. Everybody does not, you know, profess to be the vanguard of the revolution. You know what I'm saying? Everybody doesn't take this kind of stance. Everybody doesn't have a hardline stance. So I'm saying, like I'm saying, everybody got to fight. You got to do something. If that's all you can do is to organize that rally and pull the people together and let the people know the issues, then so be it. I'm just saying that's just not what we're going to do. We are not going to just be, you know, stuck down to no marches, and we're not going to be stuck down to no protests, and we ain't going to be stuck down to singing "We Shall Overcome." That just ain't going to happen. That's in a lot of our vantage point and view, that's outdated. It's outdated. Some of them civil rights tactics, most of them civil rights tactics is outdated. Because let me say this, we have a live thinking enemy. General George Jackson talked about this. If you can read Blood in My Eye, read the book Blood in My Eye. He talked about this, how when you're dealing with a fascist state or fascist oppression, that it is a live, I'm paraphrasing, a live enemy, and that when you make a move as a soldier and a freedom fighter, then the opposition make a move. And they make a heavier move, so it's on you to make a even heavier move. That's George Jackson saying that every level got to go higher and higher till there's an ultimate break for freedom. So everybody can't do this. And there are some of you out there, that's all you can do is march. But from our vantage point, from our analytical thinking, analyzation of the situation, that marching shit is outdated. But I'm saying, hell, fight how you can, even if you're marching. Hell, at least while you're marching, as I'm saying, like I say, kick over the damn trash can. Just do that for me. At least, you know what I mean, just smack a white poodle and knock the damn white poodle across the yard. Do something that'll make me happy while you're marching. Let me take another call. Area code 727-623. You're on the air with me. I'm Sean Qualley. This is Black Power Radio. Tell us about a national strike and walkout, Black Power.
All power to the people, brother. I appreciate you laying it out.
All power to the people.
And that's what a revolutionary vanguard responsibility is, to teach and to train. And unfortunately, as you indicated, the masses of our people is getting their ears tickled on a Sunday morning through that national radio where we have Bozo 1, 2, and 3, you know, making our people scratch when they ain't got nothing to scratch for, a laugh when they ain't nothing funny.
But the main thing
is, you know, part of our struggle is to continue on being steadfast in our determination for freedom, liberation, and justice. And we have come to the point, like my Shiro, Sister Fannie Lou Hamer, was quoted as saying, we've become sick and tired. Sick and tired of all the exploitation, all of the brutality that we witness inside the boardroom, outside the courthouse, even down to our neighborhoods. And, you know, what we recognize now is this ongoing bully syndrome that white America has toward those that don't fight for their own justice. Brother Frederick Douglass said, power concedes only to a greater power. And
right.
If we are indeed sick and tired of being sick and tired, then we have to translate when we say no justice, no peace, P-E-A-C-E, to mean a P-I-E-C-E. Because we have to protect ourselves. We can't call the police because the police is they're part of the state. Their whole disposition is to protect the interests of the state. And so we have to have courage and conviction that if little sister Harriet Tubman with one shotgun was able to lead 400 that wanted to be free to out of this nasty South, when we thought going north would better our condition for a while, it did. But if we believe in that, we have to take on the same mannerism. If somebody could tell you to go and fight in a foreign country where people ain't done a damn thing to you, and you've witnessed and you've heard through your mama, your grandmama, all of the atrocity that they did, your daddy, your uncle. You see young able-bodied men right now can't even get a job holding a shovel in their hand because these people are determined to starve us to death. So we have to say a declaration of war has been declared against us, and
right.
the only logical thing to do is to fight to survive.
That's
true. And if we can't understand that, we cannot pray. We're going to pray, but we got to fight. We got to pray, but I'm praying up in the old traditional way. So I'm into fighting for the liberation of my children, myself, and my grandchildren. All power to the people, bro.
All power to the people. Sister Queen, I appreciate your comments, your word, but most importantly, I appreciate your spirit. That took me back home right there. I appreciate that. And what you're saying is real. What you're saying is real. An act of war has been declared on us. We don't have no choice but to fight. But I want to say that we have to be trained how to fight. See, the whole purpose of the maneuvers that's happening in Sanford is to train in self-defense, because many of us think we're prepared for a battle. just like many of us think we're prepared for a fight. But if you are not training, if you're not stocking up water, if you're not stocking up food, if you're not stocking up weapons and artillery and survival, books and gas masks and flashlights and canteens and ready-to-eat meals and all that, if you're not stocking that up, I don't know how serious we are right now. Let me just be real. I don't know how serious we are right now if we're not making way to have something to survive once this shit collapses, because it's obvious it is collapsing. That's why you see what's happening. You see the sniping that's going on. You see the police going crazy. That is a sign, according to Minister E.P. Newton. He talks about when he was in jail, he was talking about that's the signs of desperation. Those are the signs that you see the establishment, the system falling and collapsing. That's why they're doing that. They're losing control. Some of y'all talk to me about FEMA and the camps and all this stuff. What the fuck you think that's about? That's about control. When capitalism, when this white man cannot control you, they detain you or they kill you. That's it. They detain you or me or they kill you or me. That's it. That's the bottom line. It was old funky-ass fraudulent article that came out. I know some of you all seen this. Where they were trying to link us to some kind of damn Middle Eastern extremism or something, man. And what I said to them, and I'm a national spokesman. I try to keep it, delicate and proper as I can. But, I mean, I'm real. I'm gritty. And I just said straight up, I said, ain't no niggas named Hezbollah, man. Ain't none. When has anybody in the hood seen somebody from Hezbollah feeding the people? Seen somebody getting their head cracked in from police brutality and somebody said, damn, I'm with Hezbollah, I'm going to take the pig up off of you. Shit ain't never happened. And it ain't going to happen. Because it's some BS, man. It's COINTELPRO. Many of y'all thought COINTELPRO was dead. Y'all thought COINTELPRO was some kind of thing that J. Edgar Hoover put down on the Nation of Islam and the Panthers in the 60s and RNA and all this. And then once J. Edgar Hoover and his high heels died, you thought the stuff was over with. It don't work like that. The same way that the old ragged, decrepit Daddy Bush wanted to go in and take Iraq and do that whole type of thing. Guess what? When his son got in, guess what he did? He went in and took Iraq, didn't he? It don't work like that. Imperialism and suppression and oppression does not work like that. It continues. COINTELPRO is not dead. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's counterintelligence. It's the counterintelligence program of the United States government. The key word is intelligence. They're countering your intelligence. They said they wanted to stop the rise of a black messiah. They wanted to stop the youth and the people from organizing with black nationalist groups. They wanted to stop all of that. They wanted to stop what we're doing. Those that's talking black power, they want to stop that. So guess what they do? They defame our character. They try to make you believe that we some kind of criminal organization. We got some kind of criminal underground going on, and that's supposed to make you stay away from us. Hell, let me just say outright on the air, that's a lie. Number one, we have statutes and regulations in the organization that profane and prohibit all of that. And we keep a tight monitor on all of our soldiers and comrades to make sure that doesn't happen. And I'm saying this: we do our best to stay in line with the laws of Mayotte and the principles of Mayotte. That's our program. So we ain't out here doing nothing crazy, all right? But these slander tactics, you're gonna hear them. And it's up to you to judge on whether it's real or not. I know most of y'all knew that was some BS. You know what I mean? But for those of you that's so feeble-minded and silly-headed, I mean, I just got to lay it out there for you. We ain't linked to no underground extremism and all this type of deal. If that's the case, why the hell we coming out of pocket then? All these events we doing, the self-defense trainers, the organizing, all this stuff is coming out of pocket and coming from us pulling out resources. By the grace of God, we just got the new Black Panther paper out, the Ballot or the Bullet. That's out now, and that'll help with some revenue, but all this stuff be coming out of our pockets. So if we had some kind of Middle Eastern funding, some Middle Eastern backing, you wouldn't see us coming out of our pockets like this. Now, me and my comrades and family at times have ate nothing but beans trying to survive and struggle through this revolutionary process to see the freedom of our people. Straight up beans. Hell, I look like having some Middle Eastern funding sitting around just eating beans. Why these crackers running around with filet mignon, steak, and every damn thing else? Let me move the point. Let me bring a call in. 904-200. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Give me your question or comment. Black Power.
Please to you, my brother. I'm glad I got a chance to speak with you. And I just like to say, this is Sister Cheryl coming out of Jacksonville. I just like to say to all you comrades that wish to join the Black Panther Party here in Jacksonville, we have a meeting tomorrow. I'm not going to disclose where the meeting is. If you get a phone call from the leader, then you know where the meeting is and you'll know where to be at tomorrow. But I just like to say to you, don't come if you're not ride or die. If you're not ride or die, then you need to stay home. To all of you people that are interested, especially our Black brothers and sisters on our college campuses and on our jobs, don't read into things when you read the Internet. If you want to come, this is not an underground extremist, guerrilla, some sort of Saudi Arabian, Bin Laden kind of thing. Just like the brother said, he took the words out of my mouth. If that was so, we would not have been meeting in a building here over here on Murder Street, Murder Avenue. But just like I said, if you want to come out, you want to know the real truth, ask the brother. Nobody's going to shove a gun down your throat and take you to some kind of closet and pull your fingernails out. Ask the questions that you want to ask. We are intelligent people. And I'm speaking as a sister already as a member of the Black Panther Party. We are an intelligent people. We are not the devils that they portray on the Internet and in the
media.
That's true. Come see for yourself. Ask the brother a question. Come Monday. Act like you got some sense. Raise your hand and act. Act like you're going to act tomorrow in that church when they give you that song and dance tomorrow and they get into their car and go back to, I'm a minister myself, I know how I go, as an ex-law enforcement officer, and I'm not saying ex because I was fired, ex because I retired. I also am college educated. I did not come into the Black Panther Party meeting press conference and saying, oh, brother, what can you do for me? But I asked the president of Jacksonville, what can I do for the Black Panther Party? And that is all I got to say. You can elaborate on that. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Appreciate you, sister. Thank you for your call, and thank you for what you're saying. And I don't want nobody out there to think that there's nothing wrong with guerrilla struggle. There ain't nothing wrong with guerrilla struggle. And I'm in solidarity with the revolutionary movements across the planet. Y'all hear me talk all the time about the Zapatista. You hear me talk about our family in Africa. You hear me talk mention times the Mau Mau Revolution and all kind. I mean, our freedom fighters, and let me not forget the Cuban warriors and freedom fighters and all them. We in solidarity. Y'all see our 10-point program. We say the same dog that bit us bites you too. All right, so we ain't tripping. But I do want to say, like my sister say, we ain't crazy. We ain't out here doing nothing crazy. Everything we're doing is legal and for the liberation of our people. And hell, even if it wasn't legal, and then if the white man said today, you niggas cannot organize for your people, we would say the hell with you. You understand what I'm saying? It's at a certain point, you cannot be dictated by your oppressor on how you're going to get free. See, that's what's killing me with some of these organizations. Some of the organizations, you're killing me, because if we look at most of the organizations on scene today, if you look at the philosophies, if you look at the leaderships, if you look at the methods of struggle, you're going to see reflections of class ideas and values. I mean, for real, that's what you see in a lot of them. You see people that scream in Black Power, but they really like, you know what I mean, white people on the inside. I'm just going to be for real. It's like weird, you know? Unless you have a revolutionary perspective, brothers and sisters, and you are striving to acquire total liberation from the forces which enslave the whole of our people, you will never be able to distinguish who your true friends and your true enemies are. Many of you, you're confused. You're out there confused with who the real oppressor is and who your real family is. That's why you're so quick. Some of you are so quick to diss Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. But I want to say this without even sounding like a cheerleader, because it's not like that. I'm just talking about my brother right now. If you was an attorney, if you had a successful law practice, if you was doing pretty good for yourself and living pretty nice for yourself, would you be the chairman of the new Black Panther Party? Let's just talk real on Black Power Radio. This is the most hated black nationalist revolutionary group in the hills of North America. Period. The most hated, the most vilified, the most slandered, and even the most infiltrated, I'd say, in the black nation, period. And if you was a successful lawyer, had it going on, and had some things for yourself, would you chair the new Black Panther Party? Most of you wouldn't have nothing to do with this. You'd be somewhere kicked back on a hammock, sipping pina colada, chilling. Here's a black man since around 1988-89, since being a student, undergrad student at Howard University, has been fighting for black people, pushing for black people, and agitating. You don't even hear about the rough stuff. Y'all don't even hear about the bloody confrontations, the glass being broken, all that I get to know about. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all hear about the nice stuff. I'm just saying, let's cut the black man a damn break some damn time. He ain't even asking it. I'm saying to you, back the hell up off of Malik Zulu Shabazz. Hell, I can take it. But that black man, he been taking it. He deserves support. These crackers out here right now calling for this man's arrest, calling for him to be arrested, trying to find some way within some fledgling little law to try to see if he isn't, and we ain't guilty of solicitation to kidnap. This is what they're trying to do, trying to set him up to be railroaded and arrested, knowing that everything that we did in terms of a legal citizen's arrest is lawful according to the white man's law. That because a felon was on the loose, because a crime had been committed, and because he was not charged properly by the Sanford Police Department, it was incumbent upon the community and the new Black Panther Party to organize and to bring this felon and this criminal to justice. Yeah, that's real. So for the ADL listening, the JDL listening, the CIA listening, and all you cracker letters, hell, you keep writing and keep recording before my family, the black family, cut our brother a break. The man is facing some unsurmounting pressure. He's facing all kinds of pressure from the left, the right, and the north and the south. And if I said that's all you got to do is be critical and you can't lift a hand to help raise some of this pressure up off the black nation, then sit your ass down somewhere and shut up. Just be quiet. Don't say nothing. If this ain't your kind of fight, if you don't like fighting like this, if you don't like getting gritty like this, if you don't like taking this kind of pressure, then don't take it. Just be quiet. But don't say nothing against him, and really don't say nothing against us. This just ain't your fight. This is like a Tyson fight, man. We coming in for the, I'm talking about prime Tyson. We coming in for the knockout. Because we don't see no other way out. The Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, in his final days on this planet, he would teach us that revolution is the only solution. Did y'all forget? Y'all forgot the voice of Khaled Muhammad, didn't you? He said revolution is the only solution. Separation, according to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is the best and only solution. So either way it goes, if you separate, that's revolutionary. And if we have a nose-to-nose, bloody, knock-down, drag-out, all-out insurrection of black against white and brown and yellow, and goddammit, is still revolutionary and will still get free. And some of y'all don't like that. Some of y'all don't like that. You want me to be able to give some kind of credit to the white Jesus on your wall? I can't do it. I'm looking at us in oppression. I'm looking at a Rakia Boyd. You know what I mean? I'm looking at these brothers and these families of ours that have been shot down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm taking my mind back to the Sean Bells. I'm taking my mind back to the Oscar Grants. I'm taking my mind back to Lavelle Mixon. I'm taking my mind back to the young man that was killed on the West Coast for a transfer on the bus, shot down by the police out there. Taking my mind back to Anthony Hill. Taking my mind just throughout the hills of North America, even to the black-on-black violence, how the hell can we be weak in this hour? Who in the hell going to do it? Most of y'all want to be mealy-mouth. You don't even want to talk about the devil no more. You don't even want to say the devil no more. You don't even want to push a land of our own no more. You don't want to push black power and black nationalism anymore. You want to be a humanist, a universalist. Some of you Panthers out there, you want to be a humanist and a universalist. You want to be all-inclusive of everybody, but everybody ain't taking this goddamn heat and this pressure. Everybody ain't dying out here like this. Everybody's not suffering out here like this. And even to my OG comrade, Bobby Seale, man. I mean, damn, everybody's not dying like this out here. Well, I mean, who's going to stand up for the black life out here? We just supposed to sit back and disarm and just be slaughtered, be genocided out? Knowing it's a plan, knowing it's a plot, knowing it comes from the top on down, what are we supposed to do? What would our OG comrades have us to do? I'm being for real. What you want us to do? You want us to punk out? You want us to sit back in the closet somewhere and cry? Put our thumb in our mouths and rock ourselves to sleep? None of us are comfortable. All of our lives are at stake in the hells of North America. Our families' lives are at stake. Our babies' lives are at stake because let's be real, they're going to the schools and shooting the schools up too. It ain't just middle school students. It ain't just high school students. It's college students as well. America has gone buck wild and the world has gone buck wild and the leadership out there, you're not analyzing the situation to give our people any solution. All you want to do is have a damn rally and a damn march, collect some damn money and go on home to your lofty positions and one day the people are going to find your ass and burn you out that house. They're going to find you in your limousine and your BMW and your Mercedes and all that and turn that shit over because we fed up and we're tired of it, man. People is living under bridges and suffering. People is one paycheck away from being homeless. One meal away from starving, but you playing with the people's emotions and playing with our future, playing with our heart. I hope y'all feeling what I'm saying. I'm not out here trying to just talk no talk. I'm just giving it to you like I'm supposed to. I'm the national spokesman. I got to give it to you like this. We have to set a new standard in America. What was done in the case of Trayvon Martin has never been done in the history of America by any group. It ain't about no damn group. It's about the people. We're stepping out here for black people. If we're stepping out here for oppressed people. And if it means putting our lives on the line, our necks on the line, then goddammit, so be it. Who else going to do it? Who else you got to do it? Everybody else, you denouncing the new Black Panther Party. It's cats that came out and just straight up denounced the new Black Panther Party. Trayvon Martin's family didn't even do that. Hey, they didn't even denounce us. Y'all are so-called black leaders. You out there denouncing the new Black Panthers when we riding for black people? And you say you down with the cause? I'm talking about so-called even nationalists, so-called black power advocates. You dissing the new Black Panthers? But you say you down for the cause. And you're looking at our black community here in these United Snakes of America, and you know that they're the tragic results of class and race subjugation. You know it's an oppressive situation that's created and exploited by the rich white capitalist class of this country, systematically perpetuated and reinforced through various institutions. You know this. Many of you have degrees in this. You know this, but yet you diss the new Black Panthers. Man, I don't understand it. I do understand it. I understand that you a bootlicking, buck-dancing, half-baked, half-fried, sissy-fied, punctified, homogenized nigga for the white man. We would never let Khalid Muhammad die. Let me be clear on Black Power Radio. The spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad will never die in the new Black Panther Party. It's Negroes within the new Black Panther Party that would like us to stop even talking about Khalid Muhammad. How in the fuck, pardon my language, how in the hell are we going to forget about a man that sacrificed his life, his every existence on this planet to see the complete total rise of black people in the hells of North America and all over the world? And not only did he talk about it, he lived it. Some of you out there, you slandered his name talking about Khalid Muhammad didn't do nothing but talk shit. Oh, you don't know nothing about no Khalid Muhammad. You damn sure don't know nothing about no Malik Zulu Shabazz. You for real don't know nothing about no Sean Kwali. If you got nothing to say Khalid Muhammad didn't do nothing but talk shit, you better do your research. Khalid Muhammad was a frontline soldier, a black power infantryman. He was the first to go in. even for the Nation of Islam, even during the times of Colonel Gaddafi, the real reason why you even got that money to begin with from Gaddafi was because Khalid Muhammad went into Libya ahead of Minister Louis Farquhar and made the negotiation. It was all divine chain of command. It's not no diss. I'm just trying to give Doc his credit. Some of us trying to write Dr. Khalid out of history. You don't even want to give a man credit. This is a man that not only helped to rebuild the Nation of Islam, this is a man that helped and went into the jungles with Idi Amin Dada, a man who dissed France, dissed the Queen of England, and had real revolutionary troops. Is a man who was in the jungles training and being in the ranks with Idi Amin Dada and came back to the United States and helped the Honorable Elijah Muhammad build the Nation of Islam, helped Minister Farrakhan when he built it after it was destroyed, rebuild the Nation of Islam, then came and built the new Black Panther Party when it was just a little fledgling group coming up out of Dallas, Texas. And y'all don't want us to give Khalid Muhammad no credit. Some of y'all mad because we say the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. But your punk ass will go to court and say to the judge, Your Honor, Honorable Judge so-and-so, Honorable this, that, and the third. But we can't say Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. You don't think Khalid Muhammad did a honorable work? Some of you fools out there talking about Khalid Muhammad was a hypocrite and this, that. You ought to have your goddamn tongue taken from your throat, from your mouth. Khalid Muhammad stayed true to his principles from the time that he started, from the time that he finished and was taken from this planet. Look at his work. Look at everything he talked about. He didn't deviate from nothing. Held the line, not only in speech, but in work. You can go to YouTube and see the man in the streets. How many of you national leaders will get in the streets today where the real danger is? How many of you national leaders will get down and shake a bum's hand like Khalid Muhammad did and put $100 in that bum's hand? How many of you will give comfort to a man who's suffering or a woman who's suffering from HIV and AIDS like Khalid Muhammad did? How many of you going to do that? How many of you going to walk the streets without being afraid and being punked out and sissified? How many of you going to stand up to the rulers of this day and punk out a man like Rudolph Giuliani, like Khalid Muhammad did? How many of you going to go nose to nose with pot-bellied pig shafts and stand and damn near go to war with these crackers on the spot and actually fight these crackers like he did at the Million Family March? I mean, pardon me, the Million Youth March. How many of y'all going to do that? Who's going to do that? I mean, if you do, then it's all good. I hope you do, but I don't see that. So don't be disrespecting Khalid Muhammad, man. For those of you that's out there that you know what Khalid Muhammad did, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, rep that. We ain't, when you hear his national representative, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman, coming and reminding you of Khalid, man, respect that. Respect that. Don't talk about the stuff that's outdated. We heard Khalid say it. Hell, if he didn't say it, many of you would let Khalid die. Hell, these ain't nothing but bodies. All of our bodies are going to go back to the ground, to the cemetery. They're going to turn to ash or whatever. They're going to do that. But this energy don't die, man. This energy don't die at all. It don't go anywhere. And so the spirit, the energy that was in Khalid Abdul Muhammad, it's in the new Black Panther Party. Y'all want us to lighten up, but hey, we didn't come to lighten up. We came to tighten up. It's not about personality worship. It's about being at the right place at the right time. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was a man born for the mission, born in due season, and he gave birth to a new Black Panther Party. Hell, even if the OG comrades of the Panthers don't like that, then so goddamn what? I'm tired of trying to explain away and talk about what the hell the Huey P. Newton Foundation wrote about in 1998. Hell, some of the stuff they said and did in the 60s was way more radical and revolutionary than some of the shit we saying on Black Power Radio. But y'all ain't talking about that. As I said, it was Bobby that told us Free Huey, the sky's the limit. It was Bobby that told us that he would stand the black man and black woman up like an army and march on this big power structure and say, stick them up, we come for what's ours. What happened to them days? Now, all of a sudden, everybody's a humanist. Everybody's all-inclusive. Everybody wants to be a part of everything, but they not taking this pressure. Even the the so-called radical rights, whites, pardon me, so the radical whites. They didn't take the pressure when the shit came down. Only a select few, and some, most of them did that reluctantly. Only a select few. They didn't take the pressure. They didn't go to jail with most of you all. They were kicked back. And so our Black Power General said, bump that. It's going to be a black thing. We're going to talk about our culture, our history, our purpose. We're not going to rely heavily on no Mao Zedong in no red book. That's cool. We respect the revolutionary principles in it. But damn, where the black book at? Mao Zedong, in the red book, they learned their war tactics from General Hannibal, a black man of Carthage. They learned the art of war, Sun Tzu and all them, they learned their tactics, their military tactics from black generals. So what do we look like going to the branch when we got root knowledge? When you learn about the universities of Wayzata, Timbuktu, what do we look like bowing down to Princeton and Yale and all them old secret society making universities? This is the value in the new Black Panther Party. One of the values. And I can't allow us to continue to be defamed when we're doing the right thing and making the right moves, and all you Negroes want to do is please the white man. Do y'all know that there's even white folks that email us at headquarters saying that if they could join, they would? Y'all, many of y'all don't know that. Y'all don't get them emails. I'm not even proud and boasting. I'm just letting you know what it is. There are those out there that know that what we're doing is right. But we would never deviate from our principles. This is for black people. This is for the child of slaves. We would never lock arms with no grafted blue-eyed devils. We would never form an alliance with those who have historically oppressed our people for 400-plus years. If you really about some revolution, what I tell them is, hell, destroy white supremacy. As the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught, he said, hell, if you're really serious, then give us some Nat Turner action. If you're really serious, I say even in a modern sense, give us some Marilyn Buck action. Hell, take some of them pistols that you're waving around talking about white power with and destroy some of them old white power, pick power structure people that we've been talking about on this show. Do that. Do that. Take down the oppressor if you're serious. You know what I mean? Do that if you're serious. Otherwise, you're just talking mess. You're just talking mess. You're just a sympathizer. And when you're in a time of war, we don't have time for your sympathy. When these bullets are flying in Trayvon Martin's, bullets are flying in Rekia Boyd's, bullets are flying in Oscar Grant's, we don't have time for no cracker sympathy. We don't have time for no Negro sympathy. We have time to organize and to execute plans of action, period. That's it. Enough of the talk. We have time to organize and to execute plans of action. Because just like y'all listening to CIA listening to, just like y'all listening to FBI, the ADL, they listen to, I could be saying something right now, and I guarantee you within about 24 hours, some little website somewhere going to say, Sean Kwalee said this, that, and the third. Malik Zulu Shabazz said this, that, and the third. They listen. They're supposed to listen. I don't want to give them a bunch of words to listen to. I want to give them a bunch of action to videotape. We want to give them some action in the streets. It's not words that's killing us alone. It is action that is killing us. It is aggression that is killing us. It is racism from the pigs that are killing us. So what's going to be the response? I got about almost 30 minutes left. I'm going to drive it home. What is going to be the response? It's just sickening to me to just hear the way that we talk. I call us Negroes because we have not come up from above the knee in our thinking. Many of you, all you talking about is basketball wives. And you're talking about housewives of Atlanta. And, you're talking about, on the corner, if you out in the field, you hear the brothers talking about how much money they making and, this dope selling and they pimping the sisters and this kind of car that they driving and all this. Well, goddammit, our children are starving. Our children are starving, being miseducated. We're being mass incarcerated through the prisons and the jails, federal, state, and county. And it's all because men have become punks. Most men out here, you're more feminine than the female. In a real sense, some of these sisters should give some of you men, some of us men, their high heels and their skirts, their halter tops, and turn them over to your ass. That's what they should do. They should just turn them over. Let you do all the feminine work because that's what we're acting like. Not acting like men out here. Our babies are starving. You know what I mean? We've ceased to be men. Or you hear some of these, you know, these bad talking chicken hearted punks describe, you know, how they done ripped off somebody else black, man. Ripped off their life savings. Because you don't have the courage to run up to the oppressor and the criminals that are taking it from the top. Hell, you know taxation is illegal. Some of you know that. Taxation without representation is illegal. That the Federal Reserve is not even a government institution. It is a privately owned institution. The taxes that they're taking from your checks and taking from our food and taking from our gas and taking, it's illegal. But you cowards and those of us that are cowards, you don't have enough heart to organize a few Bloods, a few Crips, a few whoever. You don't have enough heart to organize them to run up on no Federal Reserve pimp talking about he's taxing you and get what's yours. You ain't got that kind of courage. You ain't got the kind of courage to, you know what I mean, go and find where the gold's been stolen from Africa and the resources been stolen from Africa and get your gold back, fool. You don't have the courage to take it from the criminals, the real criminals, who's oppressing you. So all you can do is go to your next door neighbor, somebody on the in the same block as you, and you pimp them or you take from them or you know what I mean? You take their life. That's a coward. We cannot afford to continue as we have for the past 400 years if we expect to ever be in the position to determine the quality of our own lives. And more important, the lives of our children. See, it cannot be about us. This national strike on the 9th cannot simply be about us because we want to be in line with the new Black Panther Party call or the million hoodies for Trayvon movement. And it cannot be about that. This move, maneuver, this beautiful move and maneuver on the 9th has to be about the babies. Look around you. Many of you, us on this line listening, have children. If you don't have children, you have community children. Look at the babies in your life. What kind of legacy will we leave the babies? What kind of future do we plan to leave the babies? Is this what you want to leave behind for the babies? Because someone will be here to take over after we're gone. None of us are going to live forever. Hopefully, we all live as long as we can. But none of us will be here to live forever, so there will be children that will grow up to be men and women, and what the hell do you want to leave them? We're going to make them slaves if we don't fight right now. If we don't fight right now, we're going to make them slaves because These demons, these beasts have no intention on changing. I know y'all think that. I know some of us think that they one day will wake up and say, hey, we've been wrong. We shouldn't have done slavery. We shouldn't have done Jim Crow. We shouldn't be racist in our attitude towards you and keep you out of everything that will make you advance in life. I know many of you think that, but it has been 400 plus years, really over 6,000 years. That this has been going on. That's why when y'all ask me on Facebook and these other areas about these neo-Nazis, I said, damn, this stuff been going on for 6,000 years. So it ain't like it just pops up. This has been a universal battle for 6,000 years, where as long as the white man has been on the planet, they have been dominatory towards the darker peoples of the planet Earth. They have been aggressive towards the black man and black woman on the planet Earth. They have tried to overthrow and take the lands of the black man and indigenous people of the planet Earth. I cannot leave the indigenous people out because the so-called Indians were here too, the red man and red woman. They were here too. What happened to them? What happened to the red man and red woman who was here on this side of the planet before the colonizers and the Europeans? What happened to them? Were they able to live in peace with the white people? Huh? Hell no. What happened to our people who were here? Were they able to live in peace? Hell no. Two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time if they are not the same. The red man and red woman lived in peace and harmony with the black man and black woman. Lived in peace and harmony with the original brown man and brown woman. All people on the planet who had melanin in their system and in their veins that bathed their brains were able to live in peace. Now, along comes a Johnny-come-lately. A Johnny-come-lately straight up out the caves and hillsides of Europe, and now all of a sudden can't nobody have peace. We're talking about a Peruvian or Hispanic George Zimmerman with a white mentality. Why? Because the Hispanics were colonized by the Caucasian, where they have pyramids even in Mexico and other areas that were identical to the pyramids and statues that were in Africa. Now the Mexicans don't even know they have a connection to the African. They don't even know that we are interlinked and intertwined through evolution. They don't know that. Many of them would love to be next to the crack and be next to the white man. That's what they want. Many of them would rather kill themselves than be linked up to a black man and black woman because they have taken on the culture of their oppressor. So a Zimmerman arises when you have a colonized people that take on the ideas and the values of a dominant culture. That's what happened. Many of you black men and women out here who put the blue contacts in your eyes and you dyeing your hair blonde, it is subconsciously because you hate yourself. I know it stings. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm trying to tell us the truth. It's because you hate yourself and because your men and our men have failed to stand up and protect the community and protect our women and protect our babies. She's being taken from us. Our babies are being taken from us, and they're being turned into Caucasians with black faces. If we're going to survive, we cannot afford to have this go on for another 400 years. Already the influence of the negative images projected by some folks have filtered down into our children, and it's going to go into our children's children. It's an attempt. It's their attempt to immaculate, emulate the elders. Pardon me. Black kids, they're beginning to take on the psychological posture of those who they see in their everyday lives. So if you're letting your babies watch these Disney, you know, these Disney shows, and you're letting them look at all these white images coming out of Disney, then guess who they're going to want to emulate? Or if all they see is the pimp or the dope pusher, then guess who they're going to want to emulate? Where are the positive black images in America? I'm talking to the revolutionaries and the black movement. I'm talking to the black church. I'm talking to the black Muslims. I'm talking to the black Hebrews. Where are the positive black images for our people? We're talking about all this stuff that we know. Where is our imagery? Where is our artwork? Where are our TV shows? Where are our videos? Where is our music? Where is our culture? Where is our poetry? Where is our dress? Where is our thinking? Where is our education? Where is us? There is nothing in this culture that reflects us. A little smidgling of a radio show, Black Power Radio, and half of you would just listen to this and go to hell to sleep. Where is it at? This stuff should trouble you. We don't have institutions. We don't got schools of our own. The damn farmland that we're supposed to have is being taken over by big monster corporations, and our images are being destroyed. So I say again, it is important that we walk out on this bastard. If you want to know the importance of why we're walking out, it's because you've been left hanging. And in some regards, you've left yourself hanging, and not in a good way. You've been left hanging in America. You don't have anything. So now we got to be taught. We got to be retrained and re-educated through words and action. There's some of you that diss words. I'm not going to diss words. But it's got to be words and action. That is the only way to get ahead in this world. If you were talking about all we got to do is, you know, just get money, that ain't enough. You can't just get money. You definitely need to get some money, but you also got to go for self. These, you know what I mean? You got to go for self. You got to be able. We have to be able to get ahead in a righteous way. Otherwise, you know, it's a destructive subculture. It's a destructive subculture. Anything that we do outside of organizing for self becomes a destructive subculture organized within the social order of a modern technological society. What I mean is, so anything you do outside of working for true black power becomes a situation that helps the establishment. If you're not helping to raise a black nation, raise a real reality that is not exploitive, you're helping the establishment. We're helping the establishment. So bottom line, prepare yourself to walk out able to knife. Prepare yourself to do battle against a destructive subculture, welfare, these housing agencies, these systems, programs, the courts, the prisons, and countless other ruling class institutions that reinforce negative relationships among black people. Prepare yourself to do battle with this. Prepare yourself to sever the relationship and dependency on this enemy and the institutions. Prepare yourself for total separation. Prepare yourself for their total collapse, because only with their total collapse can true alternative institutions prosper. You wonder why we don't have any schools and farmland and all that? Guess what? Because they're controlling it. They're controlling it. Yeah, you can build. We need to build. But for the dominance, they're controlling most all that TV, radio, land, institute. They're controlling that until, I'm going to say it again, until there is a total collapse, first within your mind. You got to sever, we got to sever within our minds the connection to this world and to the establishment. Until there is a total collapse, only then can a true alternative institution prosper. But the process must begin now. You cannot wait for 10 to 15 years to say, I'm going to get ready to get up and help in the effort of the liberation of your people. You cannot say, I'm going to wait until I get my money right and get things right on my job and get myself financially situated before you help in the total liberation of our people. This must begin now. We must not only build alternative social, economic, and political institutions, we must intentionally destroy, overload, overrun, you know what I mean, the existing institutions while you're doing it. That means that once you get knowledge of self, once you understand who you are, as you hear it said in the RBG community, you got to bang on this beast. Every lie that's out there, every piece of capitalism that's out there, every exploitive institution that's out there, whether it's J.P. Morgan and PNC and whatever, Kmart, Walmart, all, you got to bang on them. You got to bang on Kroger's. What do I mean? I mean that most of these institutions, when they're in the black community, their standard of service is poor, number one. You got to bang on them to upgrade their standard of service. Then you got to bang, and we got to bang to present something to our people as an alternative of going to these exploitive institutions. That's how we got to think. We got to think about our own. See, a real man and a real woman thinks about having their own. God bless that child that's got their own. Part of our socialization process is the reality of prison and crime. See, they make you think that if you go for yourself, if you do for yourself, you're going to ultimately end up a criminal. You're going to ultimately end up in a crime situation. But hell, even a crime in a capitalistic society has a class basis, has a racist basis, and is punished predicated upon exploitive relations. So that means that, you know, the lower class crime is a reflection of the higher class crime. That when you look at people like Dominique Strauss Kahn, and you look at all these high-level criminals, they don't meet the same type of criterion that the dope boy on the corner meets. These are career criminals. Hell, I think it was Dominique Strauss Kahn. I think he just got convicted on a prostitution ring. Now, a few months back, we were banging on Dominique Strauss Kahn, and some of you didn't even understand what we were doing. He got caught in a hotel with the African woman, a black woman, and y'all said we was wrong. Some of you said we was wrong for coming down and exposing what he was doing. Now he just got exposed for having a prostitution ring. I mean, we ran up on these clowns. So bottom line, I'm not even going to belabor the point because the hour's getting late. I'm just saying. Support your revolutionary soldiers and armies. Support the true leadership and true soldiers in the community. Support yourself. Be about self-interest. Do what we must do for self. Know what the real reality is of the black experience in America. Don't fall victim to being marginalized and socialized and to have to, you know, to fit a certain stereotype and to not make people uncomfortable. Be yourself. Be yourself and be strong and take the example of the real leaders before you, male and female, but be yourself. Stand up and live. Stop talking about if I do this, I'm going to die. And stop worrying about that. Worry about living. Death is the easy part. Worry about how you're going to live, what your standard of living is going to be, what the quality of life is going to be, and then move out. Coming up on the 9th, April the 9th, is a national strike and walkout. Walk out. Hell, if you don't have the strength to walk out, then goddamn call in sick on that day. Say you're sick. I ain't even damn coming. But you best walk out mentally. You best walk out physically before you put out. You best walk out before you put out because, hell, I think they say somewhere over 50% of America right now is unemployed anyway. And walk out. Don't be afraid to stand up and let the communities know that you in solidarity with Trayvon Martin and his family. And don't be afraid to let anybody know that you're proud to be black and proud to be strong. I'm your brother and soldier in arms, Sean Kwali, signing off, saying join us again for Monday night as we'll be black to report to you again from the front lines here for the revolutionary fight for the liberation of our hearts and minds. Black power to black people and all power to the people.